like cherubs fall and it tumble down. Hold me in your arms and say no words, and then this wall will seem absurd, like cherubs fall and it tumble down. Jericho's wall and a tumble down.
I'm Nick Avery. Hello. We're here. We're so relieved. We've been having trouble with the studio phones and wires.
Our
and
Studio B.
Everything. It's just been chaos, total chaos, but never mind. Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. Thanks for joining us. On this show, we bring you clear, concise communication from the spirit world, from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. As mediums, we are able to bring you the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. And tonight we're talking about developing the gift of healing, and this is part two. We actually did part one the week before last, so we've had a break in between with our Akashic readings. Basically, it's, if you're interested in healing, any aspect of healing, if you think you may have any gifts of healing or any questions that you'd like to ask Spirit, then the toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Canada, it's 888-810-8322. Here we are then. Over to you, Mick.
Well, thank you, Mermin. Thank you. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, also on www.spiritsworkradio.com. Every week, I deep trance channel live on air. I bring through an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly knowledgeable spirit people called the White Cloud Group. They are an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. Basically, what happens is when I go into the deep trance state, I kind of lose consciousness, and I don't know of anything that's going on in the physical world, and actually it just seems like a couple of seconds have gone past during the program while I'm away, but in actual fact, of course, it's a whole hour, or 55 minutes in this case.
Well, less than that today.
Less
We've
than
even
that today,
intro
yes.
Music.
Yes, we even did that.
Anyway, Nick's going to go off.
That's
now.
It then. All right, bye.
And if he can go off after this.
Goodbye then, goodbye.
He was pulling his hair out by the roots just before we came on because we couldn't get rid of a buzz on the line. So, anyway, there you go. We just completely rearranged the studio in about 5 minutes. And we're here. So, I'll just tell you a little bit about who you're going to hear. Gregory Hay, who Mick is going to channel, walked the earth 300 years ago, and after his passing, he was asked if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group. They were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life, to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet, and guide us towards stability. White Cloud Group consists of eminent scientists, physicists, scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, think outside of the box, and explain situations that affect us and our future, and of course those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. As I said, the phone lines will be open, and we'll be talking about healing, but if you would like one of our mini free Akashic readings, we won't be doing it again until August, but if you would like to be on the show in August, either the 13th or the 16th, we would need your full name at birth, that's sort of first, middle, and last name, date of birth, I need your telephone number, just in case I lose your email, and one question, and email that at spirit-teaching.com. Alternatively, you might like to go to our site for the full occasion reading, obviously these are just of what the possibilities are. Well, here we are, Gregory.
Here we are, Betsy.
That was a close call, wasn't it?
With love and light, as always.
I bet you
yes.
Stood there.
By the skin of your teeth, Betsy.
Yes. Yeah. No, but it just goes to show how long we've been doing this and what a professional Nick is. How the development goes. perfect that you can actually go off and you can come through in that sort of frame of mind, shall we say.
Yes, we have had worse, but
yeah, probably.
Yes. I remember, my dear friend, when you were actually in Las Vegas.
Oh, I know. Yes.
And I do believe that you actually had been due to go on the air at least an hour whilst you were still
having a meal.
Yes, having a meal, yes.
I know. And Vic has had a few glasses of wine, something that we always say to people, you should never work with spirit if you drink. And we realised when we were on the strip there that we should have been on air, on a guest on this programme, about an hour previously, but it was a 2-hour show, so we went back to the hotel and the taxi, didn't we? It was chaos.
It was chaos.
And it
was quite a remarkable feat, actually, my friend. I have to take my hat off to you as we watched and saw the... Our dear friend here, he looked a bit like, I don't know, a person possessed,
John
really.
John Cleese. He looked like John Cleese out of Fawlty Towers, if anybody's ever seen that. Yeah. Totally manic. And then we sat down and we got on air. Oh, we didn't know how we were going to even get through in the room, did we? Because we had to fit our studio up in the room and just make...
And you had all brand new equipment,
I understand. And we didn't know if it was going to work. And then we got on air and they were saying, oh, so glad you made it. And then we thought, well, I hope Gregory can come through after all this, because Mick was shaking with just the whole stress of it all, wasn't he?
He was, yes. It was not a pretty sight.
No, it was funny. It was funny. It was good job you didn't burp or anything like that, because he'd just eaten a huge meal. I mean, huge.
Yes, he had, yes.
And usually Mick... Usually it's about 2 hours. If we can do 2 hours before a show, that's what we usually aim for before Mick goes into trance. Because obviously when Gregory takes over the control of Mick's body, he's actually dealing with all the gas and the, well, whatever, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, thank you very much for reminding me of that, thanks, friend.
Oh, dear. Anyway, calm. Here we are then. So...
On that bright and cheery note.
Yes, so we're talking about a nice soothing subject, healing.
Yes.
The week before last, it's a shame we had a week in between, because it sort of makes it a little bit more disjointed, but the week before last, we were talking about healing ourselves and being in touch with our own spirit and being able to sit for our own healing.
Yes. I think that is really such an essential ingredient for any spirit traveller having a human physical existence, don't you?
Well, yes, absolutely, yes. And so this week we thought we'd talk about the other practices, other types of healing that we can do, and maybe how one would channel healing for somebody else and to try to help other people or animals. Like that.
Yes, very well, yes. Absolutely so. Where would you like me to begin then?
Well, shall we say, for instance, I mean, you've said before that everybody has a healing ability.
Yes, absolutely everyone.
Is this...
Without exception.
Okay. But is this only if you tune into that healing ability? Can you only do it if you know that you can do it, shall we say that?
Well... That will very much depend, of course, upon various beings from the spirit world who may happen to be around you. Do not forget that healing energy and the principal factor to do with you being able to heal someone else or something else is not necessarily at your behest. It may be to do with the spirit world, of course. It may just simply be that the spirit world are able to utilize your physical state and perhaps heal by proximity, which means, of course, that they are using your energy, in a sense, not in a vampiristic state, but that they are using your energy, borrowing it, in order to illuminate the subject they wish to heal. Similar things, I suppose you could say, happened to Jesus at the time when he was even walking amongst people, that people would be healed by him just by their close proximity to him. And that is exactly the same that people are able to do. So you'd not have to necessarily have to fully focus upon it, although generally human beings have to, because their vibration is not of the ilk, and their meditative state perhaps is not of the ilk, whereby their joining of their physical state with their spirit is so perfected that they are then able to transmit and induce perhaps the health of the spirit world through their direction. So it may be that it isn't actually purposefully through their direction at times. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So alternatively, of course, it will be that I understand many human physical beings are actually going to great lengths and great extents of healing courses and all of this to bring about the subtle changes of energy or the subtle variations needed with specific forms of healing, depending, of course, on which group you hail from or how you have been taught to acquiesce to these energies or channel them in some way, that you are then perhaps, in a sense, responsible for them. Sadly, for many people, this sense of responsibility can go to their heads, and a state of egoism begins to surface through the physical state. This, of course, some might say, is not conducive to a real healing ability, and no one real healer would ever succumb to such abuse or to such lower form of egotistical situation. However, I have to say, my friends, that I observe many, many people in physical state citing that they are their healing prowess or something like that, when in actual fact, of course, what they are really truly doing is they are illuminating the patient for the spirit world to heal. The spirit energy is passing through sometimes it's passing through the physical medium. At other times, of course, they would just be using the proximity in order to, for the medium to, shall we say, illuminate the patient with their energy, so that the spirit world can actually see what is going on, what's going wrong, and that kind of thing. Sometimes it helps to have this form of illumination by those in the spirit world, because quite simply, it alters the vibration of that person. So, for example, if you have a human being who is extremely negative and of a very low vibration, it may well be quite difficult for the spirit world to actually see them or to be able to respond in kind to the likeness of their illness and therefore bring them healing. Now, in which case, my friends, what would simply happen is that you as a healer would perhaps illuminate the patient and raise their vibration with your own healing energy and love toward them, which you would bring on in service, of course, and this in itself would be just quite simply something which would help and aid the whole transition of the healing energies, perhaps through you. Yes, it is possible, of course. And we will go through the methods of how that works. Quite simply, sometimes what can happen is that through the gradual development of your healing technique, what can happen is that you would have a sense or feeling that healing or energy, warm energy or even cold energy, is coming out of your hands. This may be determined perhaps by the opening of various chakras during meditation or during your development for healing, to bring about this configuration, to bring about this contact with those in the spirit world. I understand that many people actually do not call it spirit healing at all, but call it just really to do with the energy of the universe. And that's fine as well. If that's what floats your boat, if that's what makes your gravy, if that's what creates the apple of your eye, then so be it, my friend. If the egg fits, wear it.
Culinary examples of humour tonight, Gregory. Very
well,
good.
My dear friend, yes, we have to lighten the atmosphere, you see. So it may well be that the situation is that you feel that energy is coming out of your hands, and so be it. It probably is. If that's what you feel, it may be tingling sensations or something like that. You may not feel anything, but the patient may most certainly will be feeling something. This, in effect, will actually be the healing energies coming through you from elsewhere, not generated by you. So you need to leave that piece of thought where it lies, because it doesn't fit your persona. What you need to remind yourself here is that you are being in service. You are acting in service to help others. That's all you need to have in your mind, not how wonderful a healer you are. Nothing to do with the ability that you feel you have, that you dominate and you create for yourself. I agree that you have been in development for this. And some people develop for many, many years. And we feel such good credit and worth that is due to those who are in service so selflessly for this ability to help other people when they are in need.
Well, very often you'll say to somebody, particularly through the readings, that they are a healer.
Yes.
They have healing gifts and abilities. So does this mean to say that you mean that they are further down the road, they are really like ripe for it, that they have all of the other attributes? Because you say that everybody can be a healer, but obviously if they're full of ego and they're negative and they're all these other things, then they're not going to be a good healer, are they? They're not going to be able to channel good energy.
Well, one would think. However, I do have to say, and this is exactly the same for any other form of mediumship, friend, you may not be the brightest spark in the log pile. You may not well be a person who is all loving and all generous with their love within a self from the well within. It may well be that you are a hurtful, spiteful being, and yet still there will be people in the spirit world who will want to use that energy and turn it for good. And so whilst you are bringing about a situation of healing, perhaps, or even clairvoyance, clairsentience, whatever it is, the bridge between the spirit world and love continues to reign, even though that character outside of that may well be hostile.
Well, yes, but on the other hand as well, if they're a particularly nasty piece of work, they're not really likely to want to help other people, are they?
No, exactly. I understand that. But I'm just saying, though, that it does not bode well for someone to be egotistical about their nature, and yet there are many people who are egotistical, and they will still be able to heal. They will still be able to bring about help toward other people. And even if they say, look at what I'm doing at this time that they're doing it.
Mm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm really driving at in this little entree of words is that we are trying to show you that it is not necessarily that those beings who are working with you are of the highest and best. You want that to happen, and you need the development to create that understanding with the spirit world and to make sure that that energy is of purest light.
Okay.
Yes.
Hello, caller.
Hi, Gregory and Sylvie. How are you doing?
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, hello,
very
friend.
Good. You recognize me.
I did.
Hello,
yeah.
Friend.
Oh.
It's in the
Gregory,
post, friend.
Hi. My question is, can our higher selves see what's going on in our body and actually tell it to the higher self of a doctor?
Yes. I am aware, my friend, that there are some people who have lived in physical life who are completely aware and in tune with everything that is happening in their physical state. And I know full well that many of you, an extreme number in fact, know when you're ill. You know that something isn't right, and when it's not right, you know really what part of your physical body, your physical anatomy, has gone wrong. The first thing that any good doctor will ask you is, tell me about your problem and what you think has happened. That's the first sign of a good doctor, not to actually tell you outright, because they don't know. You are the person who can look inside yourself. That's the first point to make, and I'm so glad that you brought it up. The second thing to say is that many people who have done divining of some form or other, by divining, I'm talking about really using rods or something like that, in order to detect the energies either within the earth or within people, within themselves, to see, to detect the balance and nature of an individual person. The situation is, my friend, that you may well have different situations being created within yourself that you can in fact connect to. And particularly, I have to say, if you are a person who is interested in that form of detection, of using divining rods or some such thing, perhaps even a crystal, if that is what takes your fancy, that you use that in order to divine for certain specific solids or certain fluids or whatever in the earth it may be. Or it may be to really to see if the ley lines running upon the earth are perhaps having something to do with dwelling places or something like that. Or perhaps you're looking for water. So the situation can usually be that a person who has these abilities, who connects with spirit in this way, because it is connecting with spirit, and also, of course, the earth energy, and also the energy of the divine within a self. It means that that person is actually already au fait with that connection, and it is quite possible that that person could even detect what their blood rate is, what their pumping heart rate is, may even be able to detect, tell a physician what their pulse rate is and be absolutely accurate over it. Yes.
That's really fascinating. But I've heard a psychic medium who said that animals, their spirit guides, could actually tell somebody what ails them with very accurate description. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, absolutely so. It's exactly the same way, my dear friend, as many witches will be able to also tell you. The point is that you could probably tell someone else what is actually happening to them just by walking up to them, even perhaps not even putting your hands on them. That's the point. You don't necessarily have to touch them in order to find out what ails someone else. You just have to be in their company and connect. That's the secret, really, is to be open to that channeling possibility, to that possibility of connecting with the universal energy of all love, which exists around and within and without every single being, everything that exists in your side of life. Is a part of the whole, after all.
Okay, John?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about healing. And this is part two of healing, just in case you're thinking that you heard this 2 weeks ago. It's part two. And if you'd like to phone up and ask Gregory a question, phone lines are open. And the number to call in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322, and that's toll-free. So you were talking about illuminating the patient.
Yes.
What do you see, then, what do you see from the spirit world when a medium, and let's face it, anybody who uses healing is a medium?
Yes.
Aren't they? Because
absolutely.
Very often they say, oh, I'm not a medium, I'm only a healer, which is nonsense.
Yes, and it's rather demeaning to other healers and themselves for having that form of negative energy about them. The problem is, of course, that the connotation is that by the very facet of it, that everyone has this gift, then it must be lesser than someone who perhaps is clairvoyant or clairsentient.
Well, absolutely.
Something else.
It's not so much of a compliment by saying that you're a healer.
Yes, exactly. But after all, my friend, you may be someone who can help a cripple to walk again. So you are giving someone else the real, true breath of life. And you are doing this in a very physical way, which is interactive and proof, beyond any doubt, of the continuation of life beyond the spirit world. Beyond the physical world.
If you're healing somebody and you're illuminating the patient by the healing that you're doing.
Yes.
What is it that you're seeing as a spirit?
What we see is, to begin with, is the auric energy of a human being or an animal or whatever it is. We are also seeing certain energies being emitted from the primary actual organs of the person, or perhaps it may well be the primary source of pain coming from the person that the person is experiencing. And in this way, it means that we are able to detect exactly what the source is, where it's coming from, and why they have it. This will be just the first instance of it. The situation is then revealed as we move in closer, and that it becomes obvious to us that as we look within the physical body itself, we are able to see the layers of the physical body being pared away, almost as though you are looking into the physical body with a camera. And what you are seeing is everything in real time, in the actual scape, as though you are, in a sense, peeling back all of the layers of that person's physical cells and going to the root of the problem. And so, in some essences, that is what we see. We also see very much the person illuminated by the light energy, to do with the proximity of the medium involved. And we are calling everyone a medium and doing this. Because this, don't forget, is your actual natural state. This is your birthright we're talking about. That so many people seem, oh, that's not me, can't be me. Particularly as they're perhaps not really doing very much for their lives. It just means, dear friends, that for those people, they have lost their way.
And you don't have to know what is wrong, do you, with a patient?
No, indeed not. A true healer, someone who is really ultimately connecting with the spirit world, would not actually ask a patient what's wrong with them. Why should they? Why should a healer need to know what's wrong with the patient?
Well, yes, I guess so, but then not all healers are developed with their clairsentience, their sensing ability.
No,
and they're attuned with their guides.
I understand.
Let alone clairaudience.
Yes, I understand that. And what I'm saying really is that when you, as a person, ask a client who wishes to be healed what is wrong with them, it may well be a part of the healing process, of course, to be dutifully asking them of what their ills are. But what I'm saying is, then you are preventing the actual natural state of your physicality, blended with your spirit, to be able to make the contact and establish the fact yourself. You're preempting it.
But what about if it's arthritic knees and you actually want to sit in front of that patient on a chair and put your hands on their knees?
Yes, I agree with you. There are times, perhaps, when you will want to do that. But what I'm saying, though, is that many human beings, when they're going to give healing, they don't do a proper assessment. They just go in with their mouth rather than being silent and observational of the client. Ask the person to sit down. Or better still, ask the person just to stand there. And you, as the medium involved, look, simply stand behind them and look at them from as far away as you can. Look at them and look at how they're standing. Walk around the patient. Continue to look at them and observe. Observe not just with your eyes, looking to see if there's any sign of their discomfort or something like that. No, what I'm saying is that you look slightly past the patient so that you can glimpse their auric field. So that at the same time, you would begin to access the connection with those in the spirit world who are working with you. Even if you don't know who they are, it doesn't matter. You don't have to know everyone's name. You don't have to know your guardian's name, your doorkeeper, guardian angel. You don't have to know your healing guide's name or any of the other beings who may be working with you. Of course, it's respectful of you to try to find out. But it is not a prerequisite to having a healing ability. So don't think that that is coupled with it. That's a misnomer, which is brought about by the wish to stimulate education. Yes, I understand that. But it is also there for some people to stall them. For some people, it actually puts them off. For some people, it may not actually help them, because the very fact of their knowing or thinking that they know who their guide is once again the subject of egoism, which you don't want. So as I'm saying this, my friends, what I'm saying is, as you walk around your patient, you are connecting with them. You are feeling their energy as you walk around within their auric field. That's what you're doing. You're picking up and sensing their auric field, even though you may just be thinking, oh, I'm not feeling anything. You may be thinking, well, I have this feeling of this, but there again, I'm probably just putting things into my mind. That's the problem, you see, that human physical people have. They always will think negatively about their own inner gifts of awareness and fulfillment, because they'll see this as an obstacle. They'll see everything that they think then as an obstacle. Oh, this cannot be right. I'm thinking this. And always use it as an excuse not to use the information. So this is why I'm saying to you now, dear friends, what you need to do, circle the patient. Be with them. Be loving toward them. Be reassuring. And say to them, just give me a moment, please, while I connect to this situation so that I can see which way I can help you. And then, if you're still not sure, you might make some tentative inquiries. Perhaps even, don't forget to ask their permission to allow you to touch them. And it may well be that you place your hand in a particular place. Perhaps it is that you wish to draw their attention to a certain thing, or something that you feel drawn to inspires you to connect with that particular area. Perhaps you feel that there is pain in their kidney or something like that. And so you just even place your hand in the periphery area, not even necessarily touching them. You don't have to touch their skin in order to feel through their auric field to understand whether there is something wrong there or not. That's a misnomer as well, saying that you have to have full bodily contact, but that's not healing if it's not. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Whoever told you that is just making rules for the sake of it.
So presumably, obviously, that's a little way down the line where you might have the chance to have a go on somebody else, so you've got to do some groundwork before then.
Yes, but what I'm saying, though, my friend, is that you can do this on a loved one. You on a family member, on a friend. Yes?
Absolutely, yes. I thought I was going to say that. And you can actually try reading friends and family and whoever comes round to your house or home or who's standing next to you in the queue in the supermarket or whatever, can't you?
They say line here, Fred.
Oh, yes.
They say line.
Line in the supermarket.
Yes. You see, I'm having to keep up with both continents, you see.
Yes, I know. Very good.
Yes.
So, you know, obviously you don't say, tap them on the shoulder and say, excuse me, have I got this right? You know, do you have some, you know, a dodgy ticker or something?
Yes, have you got something troubling you with your bits down there?
I mean, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So
wouldn't do well, would it?
It wouldn't. No. So presumably, yes, we can practice on each other, on friends, and on family.
Yes.
But you know, like you say, what does somebody actually do though? Okay, if there's somebody listening now and say, well, gosh, I didn't realise that I was a healer.
Yes.
So, okay, I would like to have a go at doing that.
Yes.
What do I do first?
Well, really, the first thing that you need to do is to make a connection. So you need to ask the spirit world, as I said in the first program, ask the spirit world to connect with you in this matter. Say, I would like to become knowing of my healing gifts, please, if you please. I ask, of course, for the highest and best. To be with me at all times, to care for me and watch over me at this time that I give of myself in service in this way. So you would say this in order to make that connection with the spirit world. And then you would ask to perhaps ask them to journey with you or to perhaps try to ask them to come closer to you so that you may feel them around you. Again, this, just because you're asking, it doesn't mean to say that it's in your mind, that it's now going to be up to imagination in order to bring this about, that thanks to Daryl, whatever his name is, that the situation is that it's always going to be some subject of the mind.
So, okay,
Brown.
And you're on
yes.
your own. I wouldn't even say his name on air.
Well, I'm sorry. I
gave him a plug.
Yes, well, not in this case, no, friend.
No. Anyway.
But you see, the point is that so some people will point to this always as being a detrimental thing. Oh, no, this is just your mind. It's just your mind playing with you. It's a psychological ploy. It's a trick, whatever. It's an illumination of illusion. It isn't. What you are actually doing is you're communing with the spirit world and you're actually asking them to be with you, to help you in this matter. Then what you will do is, as I say, so if we're talking that we have a family member, perhaps with a headache or something, then you need to connect with them. Use that situation in your favor. Say, well, would you mind if I help you, if I try to help you, please? If they say no, don't pursue it. Of course not. But if they say yes, then do it. Step up and do it. Don't think for one moment, oh, no, I can't do this. I've never done this before. Ridiculous thought.
Okay. For somebody that's never seen anybody give healing, and I know everybody's different.
Yes.
What would you suggest that they do? Because we're not talking, you know, I mean, because people know about massage.
Yes.
And that sort of thing.
Yes,
stroking,
absolutely.
Stroking and, you know, so what would they do? They would go up to this person who had the headache.
Yes, it doesn't matter whether they're standing or sitting. Probably asking them to sit down is a good idea. However, it isn't essential. Obviously, if the person is very tall and you're short, perhaps you're a child, then it may well be that you this is unreasonable. So, in whatever event, you want the situation to be comfortable. And particularly, if your healing situation is going to be something which is going to take more than 5 minutes, which you really want to try to encourage that possibility to be. You want it to be about 10 minutes, perhaps. Particularly as you may not be familiar with what might happen. If this is your first time, for example, don't think that you're going to have egg on your face, oh, this person isn't going to feel anything, or don't think negatively about it at all, because as soon as you place that negative thought within your inner self, you are going to create it. That's the thing that you must remember. Whatever you put out there, you will get back, and it will be immediate. So if you have the thought, I am not going to help this person, or I am just fooling myself, I'm playing an illusionary game on someone else, then that's what you'll do. So don't have those thoughts. Place those in the old self, in the self that you were before this day, before trying this experiment. And remember, it is an experiment. Every situation is. So whether you are a bona fide healer, has certificates up their arm, and even has maybe perhaps been doing healing for 20 years, don't ever take that for granted as being your license to do whatever you wish. Or to say, I can do anything. Or to be egotistical at all about your healing practice. Because what you're doing, friend, is you're being in service. So for that first person who at last steps up to the ideal that they can be a healer, what they would do is, shall we say then, that the client, the person, friend, family member, whoever, has something wrong with their head. They have a headache, extreme headache, perhaps above the eyes, one of those typical painful places that human beings tend to suffer from. Remember, this is part of your gift, is just to be able to be with them and to express these loving energies within a self, which are going to be selflessly given to illuminate this person for those who may walk with you, whom you may not even have met yet. You may not even know them. As I said, this is perhaps your first time that you have ever done healing at all, and that perhaps you have never, ever even thought of doing healing before. So what you're doing is you're going to come up to them. We shall say this person is sitting on a straight back chair, something like that. Simple. Not complicated. Just sitting down, facing one wall in a room. And what you'll do is you'll step up behind them, you'll place your hands upon their shoulders, or even just around them, just not even touching their physical body. Maybe perhaps you will just move your hands just gradually around that person, around the shape of their head perhaps, or perhaps over the top of the crown of their head. And as you do that, as you move your hands over the crown, you'll feel a sudden surge of energy. As you do that, you will feel energy rising from the crown of their head to your hand or the other way. You will begin to feel these subtle changes of energy, and at this point, I would suggest that you close your eyes. You don't have to keep your eyes open. It's actually better to close your eyes so that you can be less invasive of and less aware of your total surroundings, of what's going on in your life, and that you can then allow those in the spirit world to draw even closer to you. Because you're shutting those energies down. You are making slight the sensory, the actual seeing part of your vision. So all of that part of your information is being stopped just because you've got your eyes closed. And in doing that, what you are actually creating there is a connection with those in the spirit world. I know that some people heal with their eyes wide open. They feel it is not necessary to do that. And their hands still heat up. They still have beautiful energy coming from them. Or they may well have beautiful energy surrounding that person's auric field and allowing it to be illuminated for the spirit world to do their work. This is simply what you will do. You will just move your hands to where you are guided to be.
And then you will rest them maybe on the forehead?
Yes, or maybe you will rest them on the back of the neck. That's usually a very good place to start, in fact, particularly with headaches, because they usually originate from tension and from feelings of, in a sense, granular activity, which is the residual effects of negativity, which are then splintered off and sit like small grains of sand in the joints of a person's neck or perhaps in the muscle fibers or something like that. These are little shards of energy of negativity which are lodged there and are sticking like pins in the person's muscles. And as you place your hands upon that person's neck, you'll just cast your mind into the abyss. Not think of anything. Remember, connect and be. Just connect and be. Be within the moment. Be within the silence. Be with that which is love above all love.
What does the patient, we've only got a minute unfortunately, but what does the patient do? What do you suggest the patient does? Close their eyes and just tries to relax?
Even if they are in pain, just close your eyes, try to relax, put your hands in your lap, just neatly, just cupped perhaps in your lap, or even perhaps if you cannot do that, place your hands palm down on your legs, on your thighs, or something like that. Just try to relax, relax those shoulders, just allow the situation, allow your little friend or whoever it is who is wanting to give you this healing this first time. Don't put any negative energy out toward them. Just allow them to do what their practice wants them to do. It's practice, don't forget. And any path in the practice of healing makes perfect for the connection with the spirit world. Never forget it. Never, ever forget it.
Okay, and we'll carry on with this next week because there's lots of other things that we need to know and we can discuss on this, including healing our pets.
Absolutely so, yes.
So, we'll look forward to that, Gregory. Sorry it's so short
light.
Today.
No, think nothing of it.
Okay, God bless.
Love and light, friend.
Okay, well, I'd like to say thank you very much for listening to the wonderful BBS Radio and joining us on Spirit's Work. If you want a free mini Akashic reading in August, we would have your full name at birth, your date of birth, your telephone number, one question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
And welcome to another edition of the Odyssey Radio Show. We talk about metaphysical and mystical topics. I'm your host, Mike Schultz, and we go live every Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. So tonight we have an exciting topic to talk about. We're going to be talking about Mount Shasta and some big events coming up this summer, and I've invited the promoter onto the show. His name is Jonathan Shalimar. Welcome to Odyssey.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, great. Let's dig right into it. Why don't you tell me a bit about these summer festivals that have been growing in popularity. Tell me how it got started and what's going on with it in Mount Shasta.
All right. Well, Shalimar Productions was started 2 years ago. I was up on the mountain where I used to live at a place called Morningstar, and I was watering the lawn, and I heard a voice that said, it's time to start Shalimar Productions. We want you to bring David Icke to the mountain. He needs to be here.
That's exciting.
And so I started Shalimar Productions. I invited David here. He later told me he wasn't going to travel, but when he saw it was Mount Shasta, he knew he had to come.
Now, what is the significance of Mount Shasta? I know there's a lot of UFO sightings, and this is a small area, a small town in Northern California with a dormant volcano, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Mount Shasta has many, many legends that go back to antiquity. And some people think it was an outpost during the time of Lemuria. There are legends of Lemurians or beings underneath the mountain in a city underneath.
Telos, right?
Telos, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And some people refer to the mountain as St. Germain's Mountain. All I know is it feels like being on a different planet almost, and the energy here is quite powerful.
So it's an extremely beautiful area, and I know a lot of metaphysical stores and events have come to the town. So I know you have three big festivals this summer. The first one is called In the Heart of the Awakened, and tell us the theme of that festival, July 12th to 15th.